puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It is time for Abandoned Manitoba here on the Weekend Morning Show. Local historian Gordon Goldsboro joins us now. Hi.
Good morning, Marjorie.
Good morning. Remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, a question that I get quite often asked is, do you have a photo of my street from 100 years ago? And most often the answer I have to give is no, I'm sorry, I don't. But for Napinka and other towns in southwestern Manitoba, there's actually many such images, thanks to a man named Brabazon Sanders. So this week we're going to talk about the story of the real photo postcard.
Gordon, why are there no photos of streets from 100 years ago?
Well, think of it this way. Most of us carry a camera, you know, in the form of a mobile phone all the time. Yet, how many of us take pictures of our street on which we live? It's just not something that most people do, even though it costs essentially nothing to take the photo. Well, a century ago, when photos were expensive, it was even less likely to photograph a street unless there was an economic motive. Now, we do have many photos of the major streets, you know, here in Winnipeg, for example, of Main Street in Brandon, Rosser Avenue, but residential streets were far less likely to be photographed.
So what would cause streets in small towns in southwestern Manitoba to be photographed?
Well, at the turn of the 20th century, people living in these towns were frequently immigrants from other provinces or other countries, and I think they wanted to show their relatives back home the sort of conditions under which they were living. So they would mail a postcard that featured a photo of their town on the front. These postcards would often be treasured by the people who received them, so they wouldn't be discarded. And so over time, many of these postcards have survived and have found their way into the hands of collectors.
How did these picture postcards come about?
Usually, they were made by professional photographers who traveled around Manitoba, either by train or in later years by car, and they would take photos of noteworthy businesses or scenes in the various towns, and then they'd try to negotiate a deal with a local business person, a pharmacist, a bookseller, or a grocer, to sell these postcards in their business that had been made from the photos that were taken. So one such traveling photographer was a fellow named Charles Ignatius Myers. He moved to Manitoba from Toronto in his early childhood. And then in the early 1920s, after returning from military service during the First World War, Myers traveled around Manitoba with a camera, taking numerous photos, many of which exist today in postcard collections.
In your clue, you mentioned Brabazon Sanders, great name. What's his story?
Brabazon Joseph Sanders. He was born in Middlesex, England in 1870. He immigrated to Canada in 1899, and initially he worked as a photographer at Galt, Ontario. But by 1905, he was living at Napinka in southwestern Manitoba. Despite having a population of only around 300 people, Napinka had services we would definitely not expect a town of that size to have today. You know, in this case, it was a photography studio called the Winnipeg Photo Company. And judging from the large number of his photos that survive in postcard collections, Brabazon must have taken hundreds of photos all over southwestern Manitoba, as well as southeastern Saskatchewan. But I think what makes Sanders' photos really valuable, in my view, is that he specialized in what was known as the real photo postcard.
What is a real photo postcard?
Well, most 20th century postcards were made by a printing press. What that means is that the photos were turned into patterns of dots called halftones, which from a distance were, you know, quite legible. You could see the picture. But if you look close up, of course, you could see they're just a bunch of dots of various sizes. They were frequently printed in color so they could show scenes as they were in nature. But the downside is that these printed postcards were not especially clear. In contrast, real photo postcards, or RPPCs as they're abbreviated by collectors, are continuous tone photographic images. So you can zoom right in and you can see all sorts of minute details. Now, of course, they were black and white because color photography was still in its infancy at that time. In my opinion, though, RPPCs are vastly superior to printed postcards as a source of historical information because of this ability to zoom right in and see those details. You know, and yet my friend Andrew Cunningham, who is an avid collector of postcards in Toronto, he says that RPPCs are mostly sought by people here in Western Canada. Out east, he says they prefer the colorful printed postcards. Go figure.
Interesting. Now, what sort of images did Brabazon Saunders make into postcards?
Well, my own small collection of postcards contains 34 of his images. And the predominant themes of those cards are close-ups of stores, of schools, of churches, including, for example, some rare interior photos. You don't typically see a lot of interior shots from that time. There were panoramic overviews of towns that were either taken from the top of nearby hills or from the top of grain elevators. There's views looking down commercial streets, but maybe more significantly, down residential streets too. So you can see all sorts of houses. And occasionally you get a few pictures of people, not very often. People don't figure into a lot of these pictures because if you moved at all during the taking, they would get blurry. But there's things like threshing gangs and railway crews, really quite amazing stuff.
How do you know a postcard was made by the Winnipeg Photo Company?
Most of them have a handwritten title written right on the front of the postcard that describes the subject. You know, it'll say something like Larivere School. And it also provides a copyright notice that says copyright Winnipeg Photo Company. And it also gives a date, which is very helpful too. The reason they put the copyright notice was because they hoped to dissuade other photographers from basically stealing their work by merely re-photographing it. Such copying was rampant in the days before we had good copyright legislation. And a lot of those early Winnipeg Photo Company postcards also included a number. So, for example, my postcard of the Larivere School says on it, photo number 22. And what I presume that means is that Saunders took at least 22 pictures during his visit to Larivere.
As we know, anything that is a collectible is worth a certain value. So how much are these postcards worth?
Well, the value varies an awful lot. It depends on the subject matter. It depends on the condition of the postcard. Frankly, it also depends on the individual. You know, what is valuable to one person may be not to another. But there are quite a few collectors who seek Winnipeg Photo Company postcards. So the prices can actually go up because of the competition. I reviewed some sales on eBay of these kind of, you know, Brabazon Saunders postcards, and I found that they ranged from a low of $3 to a high of, wait for it, $104. The average was $34.
Wow, $104 for a postcard. I'm going to have to go on eBay myself and check that out.
Well, you know, and if you could find a few, you could make yourself a few bucks.
Yeah. So I want to know, what happened to Brabazon Saunders?
Well, we can track his whereabouts using census records. So by 1916, he was living here in Winnipeg, working not as a photographer, but as a baker. No idea why there was that career change. But 5 years later, 1921, he's back in photography, but he's in a studio in a suburb of Toronto. In other words, he'd moved back to Ontario. He retired around 1945. He died in Windsor, Ontario, 1954. But, you know, I like to think that his memory is kept alive by this legacy of postcards that give us a wealth of information about life in small towns in Manitoba from 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting indeed. Thanks for this, Gordon. So what's up for next week?
Well, I'm fascinated when we find usual things in an unusual setting, because there's generally an interesting story about how they ended up there. So next week, we are going to visit Brandon's Coronation Park to discuss what looks like several gravestones.
We'll have to tune in for that next week. Thank you so much again, Gordon.
You're welcome, Marjorie.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.